Hello, everybody. Welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This episode, 4B or not 4B, episode 2.
That is the question.
I'm Kirk, and that's Kyle.
I can say my own name.
He's in New York City, where the show takes place, by the way, and I am in L.A., where probably some of the show was shot, I imagine.
Well, if you remember anything of the first episode, yes, some of it was shot in L.A.
Anyway, so this episode opens on Kelly putting cement in Alfonso's car.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite intros. One of my favorite little cold openings. He's giving them shit, and they won't move the truck. So he just takes the cement truck pour and throws it into it's not Alfonso's car. It's that guy's car. That he's talking to.
It's Alfonso's like, I don't know, lackey, like piece of shit car guy.
He's not Alfonso's lackey, he's Marino's lackey.
Marino's. Wait, who's Alfonso's then? Girardella is the guy that shot Andy. Marino is...
Girardella, if you watch closely, Girardella's lackey that, we'll talk about it later. Because I think it's the second episode when he gets arrested. This episode is Girardella gets arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lois comes back in and says, yeah, Girardella set me up. Well, if you watch closely, when Andy is sitting at the bar at Girardella's place, when he's sitting at the bar at Girardella's place, one of Girardella's lackeys comes in and says, like, hey, you need to leave. That guy ends up becoming one of the cops that you randomly see around the precinct house that is... that gives you, like, exposition of, like, the crimes.
Yeah, there's a couple of officer expositions, and Ralph Garman, who did some podcasting and some stuff with Kevin Smith, he plays a cop in later seasons, but he called himself Officer Exposition because that's exactly what he is.
Excuse me. One of those guys works for Alphonse and then ends up becoming... a cop.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. It happens randomly.
It happens a couple times in the series where people show back up as other characters. Probably because they did such a good job.
Yeah. But so he puts the cement in his car. Shit happens. Then you cut to... he's back at the precinct talking to Kelsey. And then Alphonse Giardella comes in with...
his Sinclair, his lawyer.
The bald guy. Basically saying, like, you want to talk to me about Andy, blah, 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 all this shit.
And one of his lines, which is really good, was, if you guys want, I could also talk about the JFK assassination, if you guys think I did that, too.
That guy's really funny, too. I really like him.
He plays that character really well. He plays that character really well. It's funny, but, like, he's such a douchebag, like a dirtbag, that you hate him. He's like one of those bad guys you immediately hate because of how, like, shitty he is.
But Kelsey's given Kelly some weird vibes, but that's because Marino in the previous episode asked her to kill...
Kelly.
John Kelly. And so she has this, like, weird feelings, and Kelly feels that there's weird shit going on. But then Girardella comes in, shit happens, and then they find out that Andy wakes up.
And he goes to Andy, and Andy, who is able to speak, says he doesn't remember who did it.
Yeah, he can't remember anything. He says the whole day was a blur.
Which, I mean, I thought that was bullshit when I first watched it. Obviously, he probably knows who did it. But then I think it cuts almost immediately to LaCalce killing Marino and his driver.
Well, no. There's something important that happens that you're skipping that what? I want to talk about that goes to my defense that LaCalce's fucking crazy.
All right, go.
They go out to dinner, and LaCalce's acting weird. She basically, it comes down to, like, John says to her, look, if we can't date, we can't date. Like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do you think that I'm a child? Like, I can't tell you if I didn't want to date you? And she's like, no, I'm falling in love with you. They've known each other at least, 3 days.
Tops.
She's fucking psycho.
And she, like...
she knows nothing about him.
The most it could be is a week.
And she still knows that he's fucking his wife on the side.
Like, does she know that? Does she know?
She has to know. She has to know,
Are you sure?
She's gotta know. She's crazy. That's what makes me... That's why in the first episode, Costas is way better than fucking Lekowski, because Lekowski's psycho.
But you didn't know that in the first episode when you claimed your Mary fuck kill. You didn't know that... You didn't know how crazy Lekowski is.
Yeah, you could still kind of tell that she was crazy from the way, like, she was acting around him when they were out. When 4B got shot or got robbed, she was there. And as she was leaving, she was like, are we cool? Are we good? And he knew his wife was standing right there. She's psycho. She's a swim fan. It's fucking weird.
She's a swim fan.
Like, but, like, it's crazy how, like, she's all up on the ginger nut. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, what's very strange is that you're right. That conversation happens where she's like, I think I'm falling in love with you. And he's like, what's the problem with that? That's, like, I haven't been in many relationships, but when a woman says something to the effect of, no, the problem is I'm falling in love with you, the follow-up question shouldn't be what's wrong with that. The follow-up question should be, what the fuck are you talking about? Because then what's the problem?
After hanging out 2 days, there's a lot that's a problem.
Let's communicate.
There's a lot that's a problem. So after hanging out 2 days, 2-3 days tops, all of a sudden you're in love with this guy and you don't even know him.
Okay, so is it after that she straight up murders?
Yeah, then after that she straight up goes to Marino and shoots him and his driver.
Which comes out of nowhere. You do not expect it.
Which is psychotic that she thinks she can just kill people and walk away.
Well, she was crazy. Well, she was put in between a rock and a hard place, Kyle.
She's crazy.
It's either A, kill another police officer, or B, kill this, like, this mafia guy that no one's gonna miss because he's a piece of shit, and maybe you'll get away with it because you're a cop, and no one knows you have any connection to him. Another thing that's happening in this episode that I don't know why they added it, because it just makes John Kelly look like a great guy, and basically says the criminal justice system is broken.
That's what I put.
And what it is this father, this black father, comes to John Kelly and says,
why has he got to be black?
I don't know.
Why couldn't you have just said this father comes to John Kelly? Why'd you have to add his face into it?
I was going to say something about how progressive it was that Fancy is the lieutenant in the first episode and they don't even address it. It's just, he's the boss and then he's black. But I was above that, Kyle. I don't mention race until I accidentally mention it in episode 2. So,
I actually think him being black is purposeful by the writers to show how the justice system is unfair towards minorities, but go ahead.
So he asked John, because John Kelly, because one thing that these cops do is they'll testify to their investigations at trial, if cases go to trial. So this guy says, do you think they're going to let in the evidence? And you infer that this guy, his son was shot, and the evidence...
Killed.
His son was shot and killed, and the evidence of the gun may not be accepted into court, which basically, whoever did it then goes scot-free, because the gun is the murder weapon. That's what you need in a trial. John Kelly kind of gives him the old, like, just buck up and be better, and to skip ahead, just because it's not the main story... Basically, the guy gets off on the technicality that the gun was...
No, the guy, the prosecution, because the gun doesn't get entered, gives him a plea deal for 14 months, so it doesn't even have to go to trial.
The dad goes, this isn't justice, and we get the implication that he's not going to let that sit there. And towards the end of the episode, he takes the judge hostage and says, I'm not going to stand for this, like, this isn't justice for my boy... I'm going to keep this guy hostage until this is fixed, because that's not what my boy deserves. John Kelly, being the Superman that he is in this whole series, John Kelly talks him down, because he's the greatest guy in the world, and the guy gets out, and the cops treat him like shit, and he says, take it easy, and then the judge goes, anything you promised him is not valid, which is like, hey, motherfucker, the dude just saved your life, kind of.
Yeah, which comes with one of the best exchanges, because the judge goes, we govern by laws, not by your whim. And then John Kelly says something like, I clean up the streets. I've seen the way you govern. The way you govern sucks.
Stinks. I think you said stinks.
Stinks. The way you govern stinks.
Yeah, it was a real, like, weird. It was written so strangely. Also, like, I don't buy that David Caruso's tough. I feel like David Caruso's like tissue paper.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like,
a little bit.
I feel like a strong breeze could bring down David Caruso.
Yeah, like, I'm not afraid of David Caruso as a cop. Like, if, like, Andy got in my face, I'd be like, oh, shit. But that, Caruso's not a scary guy.
That's a good question. Are you afraid of Andy Sipowicz? Like, if you were being interrogated by Andy Sipowicz, would you be afraid?
No, because I'm white.
Okay. Let me rephrase. If you didn't know who Andy Sipowicz was, and just you sit down in an interrogation, and Andy Sipowicz thinks you did it, and Andy Sipowicz starts bringing down the Andy Sipowicz hammer of interrogations, would you be scared of Andy Sipowicz?
It depends on what I do.
Let's say you didn't even do it.
It depends on what I'm being accused of. Because for certain things, he goes harder than other. You know what I mean?
That's true. He does go
so
harder.
So it depends. It depends on what he's going in at me for, I guess is what you can say.
It also changes how he goes, if he likes you for it or not. If Andy likes you for it, he's going to pull out all the stops to see if he's right.
But see, this goes back to what you were saying in the first episode where there's rumblings that Andy used to be a good detective. Andy knows, like, can read the room really well.
He can read people very, very well.
Very well, but when he is angry, yeah, it's like, okay, so Andy Sipowicz is like Dad. It's the way, like, Andy Sipowicz reminds me of Dad a lot, minus the racism. In that, like, our dad didn't really get angry that much, but when he did, it was scary, because he could be scary.
Now it's time to straighten up.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, yeah. Like, at the same time, he can also be a smartass. Even when he's interrogating some guys, he's being a smartass and being funny. But when it's time for him to, like, hurt somebody, and he does, yeah, it's scary. That's scary. There's when he flips some guys over out of their chairs, or, like, there's one, I don't remember, we'll talk about it later, but there's one episode where he's sitting there, like, leaning back with one hand on the table, just staring at this guy, and this guy's like, what, are we going to talk? And Andy Sipowicz is like, I'm just trying to get my stomach ready for what you have to say to me. And you could, but he, like, the way he says it is this way, like, because whatever you say, I'm going to beat the fuck out of you. And, like, that's scary to me, but I don't know. Like, I think he's scary.
The way I thought about it with Sipowicz was, I'd be scared of Sipowicz because he seems like a dude who doesn't let up, which is sometimes more scary than a dude who's actually capable. You know what I mean? Like Sipowicz seems like he's the guy that, hey, he may not fight as well, he may not be as strong, he may not be as intimidating, but he's not going to stop until he's done. So, okay.
Okay, so back to the story. So, Lucchese kills Marino. Everything happens. Boom, boom, boom. John Kelly goes and talks to David Schwimmer's character because his ex-wife says he's been doing his laundry every day
with a gun
in his basket.
Yeah.
So he gives him his, like, a little pep talk telling him not to be a douche. Like, come on, be safe, blah, blah, blah. He meets up with Lucchese later that night. Yeah, they bone. And she's super, like, happy.
Yeah.
Psychotic part 3.
Uh-huh.
And you can kind of see the detective and Caruso working when he's talking to her. Because she's, like, all happy and stuff. And you can kind of see him being like, wait, like, you were just all weird about us.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're not, you don't have a care in the world, what's going on? And Marino's dead. That's weird. Oh, Sipowicz comes back to work.
Well, Sipowicz, there's a moment with Sipowicz and David Caruso I gotta talk about, because it's written so well. It's also first ever sober Sipowicz, which is very important. Because sober Sipowicz, yes, because sober Sipowicz is funny, he's smart, and he's, like, witty as shit. And he comes in, and I don't know the direct line, but David Caruso comes in and basically goes, so you still don't remember who did it, right? And Sipowicz basically goes, I don't know, kind of like a big asshole type, maybe hides in the bathroom, shoots you when you're not looking. And he's like, but you still have no idea who did it. He's like, no, not a clue. And you realize, like, oh shit, he's sharp and he's ready to dole out his own justice, which because we don't know this character yet, that could just mean, I'm going to go find this guy and I'm going to shoot him in his fucking head and then walk away. I was about to be fired. I don't care. He almost killed me.
Well, that leads to when Sivus is back at work and he's talking to the lieutenant. And the lieutenant says something like, the lieutenant was saying, like, yeah, we're going to give you your job back. And then Sipowicz responds with, guess I picked the right time to get shot.
and then they give him...
Oh, that was really funny.
And then they give him desk duty, which he, like, reluctantly accepts. But...
Yeah, he accepts because...
It's better than being without
like
a job.
Like you said earlier, Fancy straight up said, like, you mean before you got fired.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, Sipowicz knows he was fired, so he has to be thankful for the job that he has.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But, so he's at work, and there's a line. This is my Sipowicz line of the episode.
Okay.
This is my Sipowicz line. James Martinez is working with the crew. He's uh-huh. the young hotshot. He's working with the 15th Homicide a little bit. And Andy's having a tough time because he was shot like 6 times. He's got a donut. He's got a walker, kind of. And he starts going downstairs, and James Martinez says, hey, do you want something from downstairs? I'll get it for you.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, I'll take a cherry. And James goes, diet or regular? And
I wrote this down, too.
And Sipowicz says, what are you, some kind of smartass?
My favorite line, actually, that whole sequence is my favorite. But my favorite line is the one before that, is right before that, when he's trying to go downstairs and James is like, hey, detective, how you doing? And Sipowicz just goes, fine, I'm trying to figure out if this soda is worth spending my next 2 birthdays on the stairs. That was my favorite line, because he's like just being a dick.
But when he goes downstairs, he sees Lois.
Lois comes back.
And he
Lois
knows...
wants to talk to Kelly.
And he knows Lois is going to tell Kelly that... Girardella did it. If he does that, if he gets that information, he's gonna arrest Girardella, which means he can't go shoot him. So Andy fucking hightails it out to go to where Girardella is to probably shoot him.
And then Kelly comes and finds him.
And this is a part of Sipowicz's journey. He's at a bar. He has the drink in front of him, but he isn't drinking it.
Yes, and I don't think he ordered that drink to drink.
He just ordered it so he could be in the bar.
So he can stay in the bar.
Exactly.
I don't think that is... Because I've seen that episode now 3 times. This is my 4th. I don't see that as, like, him having a moment of weakness. I see that as him, like, okay, I need a drink to sit here the whole time, so just put a drink here. But I'm not, that, because if you look, his hands are up here.
He's not.
And the drink's below him, so he's not even looking at the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a really crazy character thing to look at. Like, he's kind of like, he's just looking straight, and I think his hands are covering the drink, so he doesn't even know it's there. It's just so he can sit at the bar.
But and then the scene is like a Breaking Bad scene, because it's the way it's shot and the way it's written and the way it works is so perfect, because he's sitting there not drinking. Kelly comes in and says, what are you doing here? And he goes, don't worry about it. Like, I can drink wherever I want. It's a free country. I think he says something like, is this communist Russia?
Kelly goes, what are you doing here? And he goes, I wanted a drink. This place looked open for business.
So then, like, some muscle dudes come in. And they're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, hey, why don't you get your buddy Girardella here?
That's the muscle dude. That muscle dude is the guy that ends up becoming a beat cop. That's, like, sprinkled throughout the season.
Sorry, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. He becomes like a main secondary beat cop that's there, like, I think the whole series. He's not in every episode, but he makes appearances every now and then. So, anyway, sorry.
But then Girardella shows up and they get kind of into a pissing match, but Andy can't just shoot him in the bar because there's witnesses. So but he's also really pissed off, and he's basically like, I know you're responsible for almost killing me. I want to murder you, and if you just give me the moment, I'm gonna do it. It's basically his anger level. But Kelly's with him, so Kelly...
And Kelly kicks him outside.
Kelly, like, gets him outside, and Andy is acting like he's embarrassed. Like, how could you do this to me? This is so rude.
Well, that, I think, comes back to how you were kind of explaining Andy's racism as, like, it's a product of his, like, upbringing and his time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that part right there where he's like, oh, you're enjoying this, John?
What, you want to tie my shoes? You want to tie my shoes together and make me look more like a jerk out here? Is that what you want to do?
Like, when, with, like, Neff, he had that attitude when you would, like, embarrass him in front of people. Or, like, do things that he didn't like in front of people and it maybe may have embarrassed him. He would kind of get this attitude of, like, oh, do you like doing that in front of me? And that's that comes from, I think, that time period of where...
Men can't be, like, embarrassed.
Yeah, like, you can't mess with men in front of other men. Or,
you,
like...
You can't be,
like,
vulnerable.
If I'm here to take care of my business, let me take care of it. Don't make me look like a child.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So my favorite scene is that scene in the car.
Yes.
Right after that, where Kelly and Sipowicz are talking, and Kelly's basically telling him, like...
I know you're here to kill him, but you can't.
And then kind of tells Sipowicz, like, hey, this is going to be better with you in it than with you dead or going to jail. You being able to testify and you being able to be around is better, and better for you and everyone else. And that's one of my favorite scenes in the whole series, actually.
And that's a formative moment for Sipowicz, because he's at a crossroads. Either A, he can stay in the car with John and not kill Girardella and be around, or B, he can go in there and murder him for revenge. But what Kelly says to him is, why didn't you take that drink? Because if you're going to kill Girardella, why not be drunk?
Yeah.
And he said, because that's not why I'm here. Like, it doesn't matter. That's not what's important. He goes, I think you didn't take that drink because you know there's something more in you. There's more for you to do. So if you took that drink, then you would have lost your inhibitions and you would have done it. But he's like, imagine this case if you're in it to testify. And then, as he's saying, he's like, watch this. Basically, Girardella and his people get arrested. So...
Well, not really his people, just Girardella. They push all the guys up against the wall and everything, but you only see Girardella get handcuffed and thrown into the back of a car.
So then...
Hey, Alphonse!
So then Andy gets out of the car. Andy gets out of the car with his cane and starts, like, basically, like, jeering at him. Like, oh, yeah, I get to see you in that lovely rug in court when I testified to when you tried to kill me. And, like, basically starts doing, like, a fucking insult comedy routine in the middle of the street and slamming his car with his cane.
Slamming the cane. I'm like, get out of here! That's my favorite. Like, when hey, Alphonse! He keeps calling, like, it's so good. So then they're in the precinct. Fancy's in there with Lestarza. They're talking about Girardella. Girardella basically says, I'll give you a bunch of people's names, but I don't want to go to jail.
He's basically...
Fancy's like, no fucking way.
He's turning...
You shot a cop.
He's turning, like, FBI... He's turning FBI witness. Kind of like a Goodfellas situation.
Yeah. And so, cut to... Fancy comes out and says, hey, have you had... Goes to Kelly and was like, hey, have you had any run-ins lately? Because supposedly there was a hit on you from Marino. And then that's when it clicks in Kelly's head.
But the best part is he hands over a list of names, and in that is Lukowski's original name, because it's her
father's name. Father's name.
So he's like, and then Fancy even, because Fancy's a good detective too, Fancy's like, did you notice somebody? And he goes, no, I'm just reading over the names.
Well, in that scene, I don't know what that scene called for, but David Caruso doesn't hide that he recognizes the name.
No, not at all.
As soon as he gets the list, he goes, without gasping, he basically makes his face of like, oh, fuck, I know somebody. And then Fancy's like, what's up, dude? Come on.
And then if the episode ends kind of where he tells Lukowski, he asks Lukowski what happened, and then she tells him the truth, which is kind of nuts. That makes it more crazy, kind of. She basically says, I killed him for you. Do you want to be together?
Kirk, she's a psychopath. I told you, she's a psychopath.
So she basically says, I killed Marino for you. Let's be together. And he's like, fuck no.
Yeah, I can't do this because you're, what's the word? Fucking crazy.
He goes back to Sipowicz to find out they're not going to punish him at all. And they're going to have him up in this fancy hotel. Girardella. And he goes, and also he admitted to killing Marino. Mm-hmm. And David Caruso kind of puts it in his head, she's never gonna get punished for this.
But you can still tell he has a problem with it.
He has a moral problem with it, but I don't think he's like, I'm totally done with her then.
No. He doesn't have a moral problem with it, but when she says, yeah, I shot him, he loses all of attractiveness towards her, because he immediately gets a call from his wife or somebody, and there was a shooting at his building. 4B shot the kid who robbed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's talking to 4B. Schwimmer's a little edgy. He's like...
Yeah, Schwimmer... Schwimmer did a good job.
For being who he had to be, Schwimmer did a great job. He was really good as being this, like, fidgety lawyer guy who's, like...
Kind of Abed-y, a little bit, but not, like, super into pop culture. Just kind of, like, weird with his mannerisms and words.
Yeah, well, you learn later on, we'll talk about it, but he admits that he moved to the city to be a lawyer and he hasn't made a lot of friends. So mm-hmm. he's kind of like, he's got that going on.
One of his quotes is, you know what, I'm glad I shot him.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. It's also because this is why the show kind of sucks in the beginning, in my opinion. Everything happens just to Kelly. Everything. The dad with his son happens to Kelly. The David Schwimmer thing happens to Kelly. Kelly's ex-wife, LaKelsey and Kelly. Everything is just Kelly. That's why I'm glad they kind of pushed it to different characters dealing with shit. Because I told Dad, like, if this was happening to one person, he's like, I need vacation because, like, I got a lot of shit going on. I got my ex-wife, I got this woman, David Schwimmer,
Keep that in mind when we get to, like, season 10 and the 15,000th devastating thing is happening to Sipowicz again.
Okay, fine.
Like, okay,
it's a little different with Sipowicz, I think.
Keep that in mind because... One of my biggest beefs is how by season 10 did Sipowicz not shoot himself in the head?
That's
commit suicide from all the shit that's going on.
We'll talk about it when we get there, but that paints Sipowicz in more of a sacrificial, honest-to-goodness, real person light. This makes John Kelly look like an action hero. He's solving shit at the courts, and then what is he doing? He's banging the cop, and then what is he doing? He's banging his ex-wife, and then what is he doing? He's helping David Schwimmer.
I hate to say this, Sipowicz does the same thing.
No, it's different. Sipowicz is trying to adjust to, like, the most devastating things that could happen to a person. That's different.
We'll talk about it when we get there, but this is the weirdest thing about that episode. 4B shoots a guy. David Crusoe, John Kelly, comes to take care of it. This dude's being rushed off to the police to fill out a report about shooting somebody. John Kelly just had an argument with LaKelsey, and he turns around and goes to his wife and basically says, hey, can I fuck you? Because I don't feel like going home by myself right now.
Yeah, that's
and
it's
she
insane.
She thinks about it and goes, yeah, that's fine.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Because that episode ends with him with his wife. In the span of two episodes, he's with his wife, LaKelsey, his wife.
Yeah, and his wife came when he was fucking LaKelsey, and his wife's still like, yeah, that's cool.
And LaKelsey, his wife, one of those women shot a dude for him.
Yeah.
And he's not losing his mind. Like, what? Yeah. It's absolutely insane. But the thing about the David Schwimmer thing... Because we didn't mention it. He's had conversations with David Schwimmer that was basically like, hey, when it comes to this gun thing, you gotta be ready to shoot a person.
He goes, are you gonna be able to do it, basically?
He's like, because if you're not, the guy's gonna take the gun off you and shove it up your ass.
But doesn't Schwimmer say something? Doesn't he say something when he does shoot the guy? Like, I didn't know if I could do it,
but I did.
Yeah. Something weird like that.
And then he's, like, asking, when do I get my gun back? Like, yeah, right after shooting someone.
Oh, no. That happens right after. Yeah.
Right after shooting someone, he goes, hey, when can I get my gun back? Which is like, okay, that's scary behavior. That's when you, like, 5150 somebody, which is when you put somebody in an insane...
In the rubber gun squad? Oh, yeah. I know what 5150 means, bitch.
No, well...
It's the rubber gun squad.
No, well, that's in the cop standpoint. 5150 is when you detain somebody for psychiatric evaluation because they're a danger to somebody else or themselves.
Yeah.
But the rubber gun squad is that, but for cops. Because they take away your gun.
It's the rubber gun squad.
Okay, so we've gone over kind of the whole part of the episode. What should we talk about? I'm saying, because we talked about it in the discussion of the story, this is a formative Sipowicz episode. Especially after the first episode we did where you told me he wasn't even supposed to be in it. In this episode, we're showing him sober. We're showing him making good decisions. And we're showing him being the Sipowicz that becomes the Sipowicz we love for the rest of the series.
I don't know if he's making good decisions. I think you're seeing Sipowicz trying to close out that part of his life. I don't think he necessarily did it in the smartest way possible. Because as soon as he saw Lois, he ran out and went to Giardella's place to go after him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not smart. That's not learning from his mistakes, because what got him shot was going after Giardella in the first place. I think you're still seeing Sipowicz struggle with this situation in his life, but him choosing a different route with the help of Kelly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've necessarily seen him totally come to this place of being a different person yet. I think he's still got a little bit of
demons to deal with. We've also talked about Caruso a lot because he's such the focal point of this episode. Like, I kind of hated it because everything happens to him. Like, now that Sipowicz is back, like, they kind of put some stuff with him. And we haven't mentioned it yet, but we're actually getting new characters next episode and the episode after that. So that people actually, because that's what I love about NYPD Blue is the fact that in an episode you're dealing with like six different people's stories, not just John Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like we said last episode, the first six are basically a continual storyline
of Kelly and
of like this one thing, and then it starts going into these little small like vignettes of
cases,
crimes that they solve. With their personal life interwoven behind it, that's a continual story.
Yeah,
but it's everyone's personal life, which is cool. So,
do you have any trivia or quotes or anything?
Yes, I do. I have a fun fact. We'll just call it a fun fact.
Fun fact. Fun factaroo.
So, when Kelly asks LaKelsey, when Kelly asks about LaKelsey's father, and he mentions the precinct that he works in, he says that he works in the 27th precinct. The NYPD has no 27th precinct. In fact, this is the precinct that the detectives from Law and Order work out of. So it's like it's a mini homage to Law and Order.
Was Law and Order, Law and Order was before the Blue?
Law and Order started in 1990, I think.
Oh, shit. Well, the 15th doesn't even exist.
The 15th exists, but the 15th that's on the TV isn't the 15th that we know. That's the 9th precinct. In real life, which we went and saw.
But I thought, maybe I'm crazy. I thought maybe the 15th wasn't even real, but maybe, I don't know.
I think, hold on, I'm going to look.
Yeah, I mean, story time. When I rode with Kyle to New York and hung out a couple of days, we went to the actual police precinct that was shot the exterior for the show, which is absolutely insane. It's like probably one of the coolest things I'll ever see in New York.
I think you're right. I don't think there's a 15th precinct.
There isn't a 15th. Because they always mention it as the fictional 15th precinct of New York City.
The 9th precinct is the 15th precinct. And a little another fun fact, the 9th precinct was used as in the TV show Kojak as Kojak's precinct. It wasn't called the 9th or the 15th. It was called something else. But the external shots of it they use were all the same shots, too. But Kojak worked there, too.
I don't have anything specific about this episode that we could talk about, but
I mean, no offense, this episode's kind of a snoozer to me.
Yeah,
it's good, but I think it's more along the lines of establishing character.
And it's also
establishing character traits. So
it's also a classic second episode filled with shit to keep people interested. I feel like it's much like Lost when you saw like random shit happen that never got explained.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's LaKelsey shoots a guy. We find out about a kid who died and his dad. David Schwimmer now has a gun. His LaKelsey and his ex-wife are doing crazy shit. And Sipowicz is now awake, and now it looks like he's doing vendetta shit, and like it's all events. It's not like the NYPD Blue that they ease into yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree that it's not their best. It's just kind of so-so. Also, it's because, in my opinion, when you don't have an episode that's a majority Sipowicz episode, it's not a good episode.
That's not true.
Well, majority, when he does, when he's
100% true.
When he's the majority or Smits is the majority.
I mean, they're not my favorite, but there's some good Gosler and Schroeder stories.
I don't know. I don't know, Kyle.
When we get to them, we'll talk about it. There's some pretty good storylines there. I think the storyline between Gosler and his dad, spoiler alert, I won't say much more of it, but like the beef that they have is cool. I thought that was really well written and worked out really well. Hmm. I mean, it involves Sipowicz, but it's not the main driving force and it's not the main acting scenes, but I thought that was a cool little line. You know who's another star that's in this
episode?
Not Famous this episode, Face? But in this series that we didn't talk about? Fucking Joey Pants, bro.
Well, no, we'll talk about him when he shows up. Joey
Joe
Pants.
Joe Pantaleone, bro. He's the shit.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of faces that... And this happened. I mean, we got time, so I'll tell this story. When I watched the show before... Because I wanted to watch the entire series before we started doing this. When I was watching it, I would tweet every time there's a, like, person in it that I know and recognize. And sometimes it's, like, the dad from fucking... Boy Meets World.
Yeah. But the dad from Boy Meets World is in Deadwood. So he's in Deadwood, which is a David Milch thing. So they know each other. So yeah.
Like
but, the dad from That 70s Show's in it.
Yeah, I know. Kurtwood Smith, bro.
The dude with the Jerry curl.
Also, you're talking about Pinciotti. You're not talking
dad.
Don Stark. But I posted that Jonah Hill was in an episode.
Uh-huh.
He has a very, very tiny part in a very, very late episode. And someone texted me, or no, they put on my Facebook wrote, "I'm surprised at how many people are actually in the show, and I've never watched it." And I was like, dude, just wait until we come out with the podcast. We'll tell you who's in every single one. Because it's absolutely insane. When you got people that were in, like, Breaking Bad and...
Bundy from The Wire's in it?
Yeah, Wire dudes. There's a couple Wire dudes in it. There's a couple Breaking Bad people in it. It's proof. I've said it about this show. It's proof that they get good people. Period.
I had watched all of Deadwood before I watched NYPD Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched all of NYPD Blue all the way through, and then I always get a hair up my ass once a year to watch Deadwood again.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like rewatching Deadwood, and in Deadwood, they're a little bit more made up because it's like the old West, and there's people, and I'm like, holy fuck, pause it, check. He was in NYPD Blue.
He was in NYPD.
Like,
I'll
tell you when we get to him. And like, Mike Roberts' character is in NYPD, is in Deadwood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's just like they're all in fucking Deadwood and NYPD Blue together. Like, it was crazy.
Do you have any closing thoughts for this episode, Kyle? Anything you want to part
it's,
with?
It's a good episode. It's a little boring.
Yeah.
But it's good.
I will say this about this episode. I didn't like this episode, but this episode after this...
Yeah, one of my favorites.
The episode after this and the episode after that...
What's the episode after this one, after that one called?
True Confessions.
The other one's called Brown Appetit.
Yeah, and then there's True Confessions. We won't talk about the specifics, but those two episodes are fantastic for many different reasons, and I can't wait to talk about them.
Yeah.
But just like any other great show, it has its ups, it has its downs, and I just think... I think it's down when they put so much on John Kelly, because they clearly thought he was gonna be the Dean Cain to this Daily Planet.
Yeah, I think so too.
Or Lewis and Clark.
When we get to it, I have some trivia about like the theory that you have.
Which one?
That he was gonna be like the Dean Cain.
Yeah,
he was gonna be the Clark Kent.
Yeah, he's
slash
gonna...
Superman character. But I got some fun facts about that when we get to it.
So thank you for listening. Once again, I'm Kirk, and that's Kyle.
Am I Kyle?
Yeah.
No, I don't ever get to say my name.
Thank you for listening, and check out Asher Brothers Podcast if you have hours of time that you don't mind wasting. Or, you know what? I'll do it. I don't even give a shit. I'll be completely selfish. Go to apatheticgentleman.com and check out some of that, too. And have a good week or life.